This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Bob Krace, author of 23 crime novels. His newest title in the private investigator Elvis Cole and ex-cop Joe Pike series is Racing the Light. Bob is a former TV screenwriter whose books have been translated into an amazing 42 languages and are bestsellers around the world. He's Zooming with me today from his home in Los Angeles. Bob, welcome back to Book Talk.
Diana, it's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
What's happening as this book opens up?
For me, it got back to thinking about trust and how important it was, how life and death important it was to uncover the truth, especially when there were lies being told. And little by little, that distilled into a podcaster named Josh Schumacher, who is, yes, it's an Elvis Cole novel. Elvis is a star of the book. But the stories about Josh Schumacher, who this sort of easily dismissed, marginalized character, but is so committed to the truth that he is a veritable warrior for justice in the book. And the story is his. And of course, Elvis Cole's, you know, all detectives are truth seekers. They have to be. That's what a detective does. You go into a chaos and you divine order. You divine the truth. And it just began to feel natural to me and important to put these two characters together so that Elvis Cole could try to find out what Josh is up to. And then having found out, it would be Elvis Cole who helps Josh fulfill his mission. So that's kind of what's going on when Racing the Light begins. And now you know where I got that story idea. You know, it's shocking, but at the same time, it totally revitalized me. It took a long time to write the book because, you know, 10 minutes a day, but little by little, once elements of Josh and the story began to light the fire within me, the 10 minutes extended to 15 and the 15 extended to a half hour. And then eventually, you know, I was doing 2, 3, 4 hours a day. And then by the last half of the book, I felt like my old self again. And I was grinding out 8, 10 hours a day, every day, because I wanted to tell this story so badly. And part of it surely was that having characters like Elvis Cole and Joe Pike, who have been with me since I created them and mean so very much to me. They're my life's work. Had I quit writing, had I been unable to write more, I would have lost them. I wouldn't have been able to spend any more time with them. And I simply could not let that happen.
What happens after we meet Shu?
This particular novel begins because Shu is missing. And it's his mother who comes to Elvis and hires Elvis to find her son because she's very concerned. Because to her, Josh is her baby who she loves dearly to the degree that she supports him. She overmothers him, even though he's a grown man. She's very, very concerned that things she's done in her past have now come to call on her son, who's given to certain fringe beliefs. In Josh's case, you know, what he does for a living, and by the way, he makes no money at it, is he and a friend do a podcast about fringe topics like government conspiracies and UFOs and Bigfoot and all of these things, most of which I believe Josh actually believes in. And there are things in his family background that might, you know, justify his belief. But his dad thinks he's thrown his life away. His mother simply wants to baby him. Yet he's now missing. So mom comes to Elvis and says, you have to find him. I suspect he's gotten involved with some bad actors from a government conspiracy, may have kidnapped my boy. Now, Elvis, of course, doesn't believe any of this, but she is in pain, and Elvis wants to help this woman find her son, or at least Elvis wants to be able to tell her that he's safe. So Elvis takes the job of finding Josh. And as his investigation develops, Elvis soon learns that there are more real world threats to Josh that his mother couldn't even guess at. And as Elvis gets closer to the truth, of course, his own life becomes in jeopardy, as does Josh, as does other characters in the book. I don't want to do any spoilers. So the tension quotient begins to go higher and higher.
One of the characters in this book is a homeless man. You wrote, "They're homeless, not worthless. Certainly not to the police. They're invisible watchdogs." What was his role?
That's what he is, an invisible watchdog. His role is twofold. I actually was hoping to use the character to illustrate that people are so much more than they might seem at first glance. Today in America, in our cities, everybody sees homeless people everywhere, and some clearly have mental issues. You recognize it immediately. And to most of us, they're just shadows we pass in the street as we drive past or walk past. But each one of these people has a story. Each one of these people began somewhere, and somehow or another, life happened in a way that led to this place. The character you're speaking of, Jared, is one of my favorite characters I've ever written, because though he very much, decidedly so, has issues that have resulted in him being homeless and living the way he is living, he can contribute, and he does contribute in a very profound way to the novel.
And he's one of those characters racing the light, because he has to be settled by the time the sun goes down.
Yes, always.
Every night.
Every night he has to go home, has to be in his home before the sun goes down. And there are reasons for this. He lives in Griffith Park, and though Griffith Park is open at night, the authorities don't want anyone actually living in the park. So unless Jared is safe in the little camp he's created and hidden away, won't be able to go home because he'll be run off. So he hurries to get home every night. While he's in his camp late one night, he happens to witness something that makes him integral to the telling of this story.
Absolutely.
One of the interesting things for me was the research I did into the true level of corruption in the Los Angeles City Council and the building commission, and the way developments, large scale developments, are handled here. That's one of the, here in LA, the city government, the city council is composed of 16 council persons, currently 16 council districts in Los Angeles. And in the past 2.5 years or so, we've had 3 of our city councilmen who've been indicted for corruption. 2 of them involving huge downtown development projects involving foreign money. And, you know, those are aspects that I employed in the book. Even and now, as I say these things to you, there's this resonance with like slimy political corruption scandals. Go back to, it's like suddenly we're talking about James Ellroy novels, you know, set in the 40s and 50s, you know, or films set back then about, you know, corruption in LA politics. And it gives rise to this vibe. Is the city of angels really filled with angels, or is it filled with slime? And sometimes it feels like slime. And that too resonated with me, because it's about trust and truth. These horrible things have been happening as our politicians have sold us out. And of course, until they're discovered, no one knows. And until these people are brought to justice, there's never even a chance of anything changing. And that seemed, again, to be something I really, really responded to, because I was doing so much thinking about the importance of trust in the truth. Every element is resonant with that. And that's one of the reasons I think I got so excited about writing it. So it was very much something I wanted to explore in the book, and I think I did so pretty well.
Absolutely. Thank you. My guest is Bob Crace, author of Racing the Light, published by Putnam. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.
Thanks, Diana. Thank you.